KVU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Unjust Treatment. The Portland police killing of James Chassie on February 24th, 7 p.m. at the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Community Room in Alloa. The film Alien Boy, The Life and Death of James Chassie, will be shown and followed by a question and answer session with Jim Chassie, father of James Chassie Jr. Again, that's Unjust Treatment, the Portland police killing of James Chassie, on February 24th, 7 p.m. at the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Community Room, 20665 Southwest Blanton Street in Alloa. More information can be found at kvu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
As citizens of a so-called democratic society, we need to have information that ranges from A to Z, not what we have, which is A to B.
KBOO is proud to present An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds will benefit KBOO Community Radio. One of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian is the host of Alternative Radio. Again, that's An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to this program. I'm your host, Andrew Geller. I hope you learned something by listening to my work. You can hear the rest of it online at andrewgeller.me. In late January, 2 years after its initial introduction, the French Parliament passed a landmark law to protect people living in France from exposure to microwave radiation. Microwaves are part of the radio frequency portion of the electromagnetic spectrum, but are not naturally created anywhere on Earth. They also enable virtually all wireless communication devices. Every cell phone, tablet computer, Wi-Fi router, cordless phone, and baby monitor are really just fancy microwave transmitters. And Laurence Abbé, a French parliamentarian representing the Green Party, has been concerned about the health risks from microwaves for a long time. Her recently adopted law will remove all wireless devices from nurseries and daycare centers, require that Wi-Fi in primary schools be off by default and used only when no alternative is available, and reduce exposure to microwave radiation for everyone in France. I spoke with her 1 week after the bill was passed and first asked her why she wrote the legislation.
I was elected in June 12, and I have been working on that subject for many years, but when I was elected, I figured it was really necessary to start to try to pass a bill on this question, because if there isn't anything in France that really protects the population regarding to the exposure of the radio frequency. So my concern was two things. First of all, trying to lower the exposure, and it was very complicated with my first text because it was using the principle of precaution, which in our constitution, but cannot be applied, I don't know why, but cannot be applied to questions that are not scientifically proved. And that's always the question with this kind of problem, that they always tell you, well, it's not scientifically proved that radio frequency are dangerous. So I had to find a way to make the government accept a bill that would be what we call doubt, scientific doubt. And that was very complicated, and so my first bill was rejected. So I started again, and then I had some help from the government because they wanted, I think, to do something. Although it was very complicated because they always say, well, this is going against the numeric economy, new technologies, and we have problems with employment, and what you do is dangerous for economy. So I had all the operators of telephone against me. Finally, I wrote the second text. It was less ambitious than the first one, but I put in this text the principle of sobriety or moderation. It means that the exposure must be as low as possible. And this was accepted. The other things in the law is to say that there must be consultations about putting the antennas. The mayors of the town have to be associated, informed. There were three things that are very important: sobriety or moderation, consultation, and transparency. That are the three really pillars of the bill. It also installed a national committee that put together associations, mayors, national agencies, and so on, to discuss and to organize a national consultation about when there are problems. The other thing was that I said we have a problem with the youngest. We know that they are very exposed, and what can we do with the youngest? So I try to put things about the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi is going everywhere, and I put on the bill, the Wi-Fi is now forbidden in the places for babies or kids under 3 years old. At school, I didn't succeed in saying no Wi-Fi at school, but what I obtained is that the Wi-Fi must be used only if necessary. It means that the teachers have to control it. So that gives a responsibility to the school community that have to have a control on this environment and this, what I call a pollution. So this was also accepted and voted. And I obtained the principle of a government report on EHS, people who suffer from EHS, you know, the people who suffer from the waves. So in 1 year, we should have a report about that. And it's the first time that we have in France this word EHS in a bill. So it's important because it gives to this word a meaning. And although there are studies going on the subject, the fact that it's in the law means something. We'll have another law, but not supporting by me or a member of the Congress, but by a minister about health. That should be in about a month. And I will go back on this health problem, which is EHS. In my text, I couldn't put too much things in it, and I had to make some compromises to have it voted, because I'm part of the Greens, and who don't have a majority, we have to find other people from the other groups to vote what we want. And, you know, it took 2 years, basically, to do that. But it's the first law in France, and I think in Europe, about protection for people that says that we have to apply a principle of sobriety to the exposure of radio frequencies. And I'm very pleased, although it's not, you know, what I would have loved exactly.
What measures were stripped out of the bill that you wish had remained?
Right now in Europe, in France, it's 41 volt by meters, which is enormous, which is when you start to cook. The associations and also other people say we want 0.6 volt by meters. But they didn't want that, so I had to go back on this. And I found another way of lower the exposure, which is say we can measure on the national territory. And we know that it's about 1 volt per meter right now. So everything that is substantially higher than 1 volt by meter is considered as a hot point. And this hot point has to be treated. So the operators must change it, must do with the antennas what is, you know, to lower the exposure and to make it lower as low as possible. So that's the idea of the what we call atypical points or hot point. That's in the law, and it's a method. It's not probably the greatest thing. I would have preferred to say, well, the exposure cannot be higher than 0.6, but I couldn't obtain it, so we found this way to have a method instead of having the 0.6 or 2, whatever. We have towns in France that have applied the 2 volt by meters, and it's working well. So I hope that the law will help also maybe some towns and cities to do their own method and go towards 2 volt by meters or lower, because some are even doing a little lower. So this is about what I can say about what this bill contains. It was voted last Thursday, definitively. Now my work is to make it apply, to make sure that it goes and it's applied.
In your first answer, you mentioned that the concept of precaution is part of the French Constitution, but that it can't be applied to anything that hasn't been proven scientifically. To me, this seems quite odd, as I assume precaution to be warranted when there's an uncertainty about potentially significant risks. Can you explain a little more about this?
First of all, I was very surprised because the principle of precaution was in the political program we had for the elections with the Socialist Party. We went together. I was elected also with the voices of socialists. So, you know, it was important for me, and it was in the test. So when I started to work on that, I figured, well, if it's written, we will do it. Then the administration and the government said, no, we cannot do that. The risk is not avéré, which is avéré. I'm trying to find the risk is not certain. And I said, yeah, but precaution means that we have a doubt, so we have to do something. I couldn't succeed in that. So to go around it, I had to find other words. That was a little bit tricky because the idea is there. I went back to the story of asbestos. In France, it took 100 years to stop the use of asbestos. And it was always the same. People were saying, we have to stop that. People are very dangerous. They're getting cancer. And other people would say, no, it's not dangerous. And if you don't use asbestos, it will be bad for the economy, for the employment, and all that. And including the syndicates at the time didn't want the asbestos to be forbidden. So in France, it took 100 years. And I took this example to say we cannot do that. There are some things we don't know. We don't have. It's a recent technology, and it's changing all the time. If we wait another study or another study, but there are always different studies, and the operators are building what we call the strategy of doubt. Every time a study will go on saying this is dangerous or not, another study will be financed by the industry and will say, well, the other study was not done well, and we have done this that proves that, so on and on. So the doubt blocks all action from the government, or the government say, well, there's a doubt, so we don't do anything. Fortunately, I found some other member of the National Assembly who supported me because they have around them, they know the problem, they know people who are suffering, who are EHS. They have also signs that it's getting more young people.
At that instant, our phone connection went dead, but we reconnected and continued with Laurence explaining the concept of sobriété as used in this legislation.
First of all, the word I used was moderation, and then the text went to the Senate, and the Senate modified and put sobriety. I didn't mind too much because in France it means basically the same, so it didn't really matter. As low as the idea is really as low as possible. And it's described in the text as those words, as low as possible, considering the good quality of service. The quality of service must be maintained, but you have to, including the exposure, must be as low as possible. So it goes together, good quality, low exposure. And with this method, where we make simulations and we take measurements, and basically we know what is the exposure in France, medium, it's about 1 volt per meter, which is acceptable. And if we go higher than that, then we have to look what's wrong and look at if the antennas are not well put. The problem in France, the telecommunications were nationalized before. Some years ago, everything was sold to the private companies, including the infrastructure, which, in my opinion, was really stupid because the problem we have is we don't have a national structure. We have a structure that is built by the operators. So they have the structures, plus they commercialize the services, communication, and so on. So we have 4 operators, and they lower the prices to get more and more customers. On the other hand, they have to put antennas because they have contract with the state to cover the territory. Of course, they don't really cover the territory. They cover the places where they make money. They don't go where there's nobody or you know, villages and so on who don't have any connections. So it's a very complicated thing. Years ago, probably the government made a mistake with selling everything to the private companies. And now we have to deal with that. And we know that to lower the exposure, we should have more antennas. And of course, the operators don't want that because it's money for them. It's a big cost. They prefer big antennas than small antennas with lower exposures. We calculated in Paris that too low an exposure to 0.6 volts per meter, we should multiply by 3 the number of antennas, which is for the operators, they don't want to do that.
So with more antenna, if each one is still lower powered, you can have the same level of service?
Yes, absolutely. Saint-Joseph was experimenting in different towns in France about 2-3 years ago. And so we have the results, so we have simulations. And all this work that has been done gives me material to write this bill and to defend it. The operators didn't want to the point. They realized that if we go on, they will have to build more antennas, and this is what they didn't want to do.
Another key provision in your bill is an absolute ban on Wi-Fi in, quote, spaces dedicated to the care, resting, and activities of children under 3, unquote. So that will likely be nurseries and daycare facilities most affected by this, correct?
Right.
Since the major issue here is the amount of time in which the children would be exposed to the microwave radiation, shouldn't this ban be extended into people's homes?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
The thing is, the kids, they spend all day in those places, you know, not the night, but they will spend 5 days a week, like kids going to school. You know, in France, they will be there at 7:30 in the morning until 6 at night, basically. People are free to do what they want to do in their own home for the moment with this. And this was absolutely impossible to, you know, I wanted to, they are little antennas in the boxes. They're called femtocell. I don't know if you know what they are. They are sort of relays for the antennas. They are micro antennas. At the beginning, I wanted the people to be able to put it on or off, and this was not accepted because it's a very, very difficult fight.
Is a femtocell something that's inside people's houses?
Yes, it's in the box. You know, the box, it's the thing you have at home, and it allows you to have an internet, television, and the phone and all that, and it's connected to fiber or whatever, and then you have inside your home, you have Wi-Fi, or you don't have Wi-Fi if you want to. Now, most of these boxes, you can turn it on or off. But inside the box, yeah, there's also a little antenna. It's called a femtocell. And first of all, I wanted this femtocell, the same as the Wi-Fi, to say you can turn it on or off, because the operators, they use homes as relays for their connections. So you don't even know you are a connection for the operators, you know, unless you really read the carefully or you know about it. This didn't go through in the Senate. They took this out of the bill. What I did is that I tried to have people being conscious of what they have in their environment and to learn how to use the objects around them. So the idea of at school, you can turn it off and on. And the idea, I hope that in their homes, people will start to use the Wi-Fi like this, saying, well, we can turn it off. We don't need it now. The problem is that people who have this only way of communication, telephones work with Wi-Fi. So if they don't have a connection with 3G or, you know, the other frequencies, they will use the Wi-Fi for phoning or sending messages and things like that. So for security reasons, they will tell you it's dangerous because you will cut people off the security.
Is it uncommon for people in France to have a wired landline telephone in their home?
Yes. A lot of people are using wireless phone in their homes now. And they don't have even a phone that's, you know, a normal phone. Because it's very expensive if you have both. So they prefer having a free phone access with a system that includes television, internet, and telephone. So they don't see why they would pay for another service with the normal telephone. Also for that reason that they don't want to cut the Wi-Fi, because you cut everything if you do that. So for different reasons, this was not accepted. And also because they think it's an intrusion in private people's life. So it's like smoking. You can smoke in your own place. You cannot smoke in restaurants, but you will have the right to smoke at home or in your car or whatever. So it's considered as private property. So there, it's very difficult to say this is allowed and this is not allowed.
Right, but as we both understand, if you're smoking in your own house, you're not impacting your neighbor in their house because the smoke doesn't travel like that. But if you're using Wi-Fi, those microwaves will travel into the neighbor's house and impact them.
That's true. But since they don't consider this dangerous, that's the problem, is that for the moment, Wi-Fi is not considered as dangerous at all.
What scientific sources did you rely on to draft this law?
First, the OMS, World Health Organization, says that electromagnetic waves potentially cause cancer. That's the main thing. The other thing is we have a national agency in France that says that the risks are not certain, but you have to limit the use of mobile phones. So I said, okay, well, it's not certain, but still they say that you have to be careful. I didn't want to go into the doubt strategy because I am not a scientific person at all. And I say I'm doing a political work. I'm not doing a scientific work. So I always refused to go into the scientific discussion because it was impossible. There would be always somebody who said, yes, but there was a study that said da 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 da. So I said I refuse to go into this debate. My concern is general interest. My concern is that the World Health thing said there are potential danger of cancer. Our national agency says we have to have a limitation.
Do you know anybody who suffers from electrohypersensitivity?
Oh, I met many people, yes. I know personally one person, but she's not very affected because she lives in town. And I met during my auditions, I made a lot of auditions, and I auditioned 3 or 4 times people, those who are suffering the most because they cannot go into town. But some people, including they went to National Assembly covered with fabrics protecting themselves, and we found a room that was as low as possible in terms of exposure, you know, with no Wi-Fi, and we found places so they could be comfortable. It's complicated because people think, well, those people, they have psychological problems, and all this is not true. But we have people who've made documentaries that passed on TV, so I think it's less and less considered as crazy people. But it's very complicated. We don't know exactly, you know. We have searchers who are trying to help, but they don't publish in terms of scientific publication. And that's why also I asked for a report for the government so we can have effective work on this question. We need more information on that. And they need work. They need to know how they can be treated and how they can protect themselves. And also what I will support, and that's not in the text, is the creation of places where there's no radiation at all. In the south of France, there is a place that is starting to, it's a member of the European Parliament, Michèle Rivasi, and she is working on that, creating this place where people can go and stay a week or more so they can feel better, and also a place where they will be helped and treated, and a place of research, laboratories and doctors, searchers who can try to understand what's going on, especially about Wi-Fi. We have not enough, we don't know enough. And we have to know more because we have people who are suffering. That's the whole problem.
Those areas are referred to as white zones.
Yes, which is a problem for the operators. A white zone is a zone that has to be covered by the, you know, wireless system. So I tried to tell them, well, we have to find another vocabulary and maybe talk about zone or with limited radiations or something like that. Everybody's talking about white zone, but they don't put the same meaning in it. And also, I know that in some offices, some companies have started to take care of this problem and protecting people with special materials on the walls in their office that will be not affected by the Wi-Fi and work with a wire and not wireless. My bill is, I think, very important, but there are other things going on this subject, which are not in the law, but experiences in different ways in different cities or companies. Also, a person who was recognized as a handicapped person because of the exposure to the radio frequencies, you know, it's moving a little bit.
What was it like to meet people severely affected by microwave radiation who needed to protect themselves with fabrics and couldn't freely go places? How did that affect you?
Well, I was moved because you think it can happen to you. It's very impressive because you think, well, how can these people recover? They're not really taken care of, considered. What they suffer is not recognized, really. And what they describe is really terrifying. And you see people who had a very normal life, and all of a sudden, they cannot have a normal life anymore. So it's very, the first time I was really very impressed. Then you got used to it, because I got to see them many times. But my concern is that, is it something that will be more and more? Is there a generation of people who are going to be ill? All those kids right now who are all the time in contact with the smartphone of the parents or tablets or whatever. Are those kids now going to be okay in 10 years? That's very, it concerns me. It's very concerning.
What can you share about the new French health law you mentioned early in the interview? Is it likely to address radio frequency radiation health concerns at all?
Yes. Just before I explain something, my bill is a bill that I wrote and that was for my group. We have one day per year to put a text in debate. You know, I'm not a member of the government. When you're a member of the government, then it's totally different. The process is totally different. That's, you know, for you to understand why it took me 2 years, because it's very, very difficult for a member of parliament to put on a law. For the health law, it's different. It's the minister, the government. We have the text, and in the text right now, there is nothing about environmental health, nothing about the prevention and all that. So it's a very classic thing. They talk about alcohol, about tobacco, but not much else. So we, a lot of associations told the government, well, this is not possible. In this law, you have to put things about pesticides, different pollutions, chemicals, and what we call endocrinal perturbators, and the EHS problem. So we don't know what's going to happen, because the minister said that she would, during the discussion, add a chapter on environmental health and medicine. But we don't know what she's planning to do, and we are preparing amendments to the text on those subjects, because for the ecologist, everything that's medicine and environment have to be put together. The problem is that the doctors, they are not educated in environmental problems, pollution and all that, and so we'll put these things on the education of the doctors, medicine, and studies and taking care of EHS and things like that. But we are preparing that. We don't know absolutely what the government will say, if they will accept things or not.
Well, thank you so much for spending so much of your evening with me talking about this.
No problem. It's a little bit difficult for me. It's the first time I do that.
Let me give you a web address, ignoranceanddenial.org.
It's about different things, or most general, about ignorance and denial, or it's a problem of a wave?
It's specifically about radio frequency, microwaves. There's information about electrohypersensitivity. The idea is to show that these concerns have been known for a very long time. There's a lot of historical material up there. The idea is to remove the question of doubt.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, very good. I look at that. I don't have any doubt myself. The thing is, it's so difficult to go against an industry. They are everywhere. The lobbying has been absolutely terrible for 2 years, and it's going to continue, I think. So I had to find a way to go through this, and it was it was a real adventure. Anyway, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Laurence Abbé is a member of the French Parliament representing the Green Party.
And that concludes the Radio Zane here today, Monday, February 23rd. on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned now for the noon headlines, and that is followed, as always on Monday, by the Noontime Jamboree, and then later on, don't go anywhere. We have the Monday Sampler, late night radio in the afternoon. So you have it right here on KBOO, KBOO Portland.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Monday, February 23rd, 2015. City Council voted for Portland to join the Joint Terrorism Task Force in a 3-2 vote on Thursday. Two officers from its police department will be assigned to the group, which coordinates anti-terror work between national and local authorities. The deciding vote came from Mayor Charlie Hales, who voted against JTTF involvement in 2001. Up until now, Portland was the only major U.S. city that was not involved. Over the next 20 years, oil trains will derail around 10 times a year, kill hundreds of people, and cause billions of dollars in damage. This projection came from the Department of Transportation in a study released last year and reported on by the AP on Sunday. Federal officials are calling for safety updates to oil trains, including better brakes. The report comes after a train carrying more than 100 tanks of oil derailed in West Virginia last Monday. Activity has resumed at West Coast ports. Late on Friday, the Longshoremen's Union and the Maritime Association, which had been in a dispute since a contract expired last July, reached an agreement. It includes a new conflict resolution system, which could help solve disputes like this in the future. All 29 ports affected by the dispute face a backlog of goods, with some ships waiting to unload offshore. In addition to the backlog, Port of Portland officials face the difficulty of replacing Hanjin, its largest carrier. The South Korean shipping magnate pulled out of the port during the dispute. The latest federal dietary guidelines have been made with sustainability in mind. The Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, a joint venture of the Department of